lesson today is found in the book of James, chapter 3, 13 through 4, 3, and 7 and 8. Listen now for God's word to you in this reading of Scripture. Who is wise and understanding among you? Show by your good life that your works are done with gentleness born of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not be boastful and false to the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, devilish. For where there is envy and selfish ambition, there will also be disorder and wickedness of every kind. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without a trace of partiality or hypocrisy. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace for those who make peace. Those conflicts and disputes among you, where do they come from? Do they not come from your cravings that are at war within you? You want something and do not have it, so you commit murder. And you covet something and cannot obtain it, so you engage in disputes and conflicts. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive, because you ask wrongly. In order to spend what you get on your pleasures, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist evil, and it will flee from you. Draw near to God, and God will draw near to you. For the word in creation, for the word in Scripture, for the word within us, thanks be to God.
Thank you. Thank you, Catherine and Cheryl. Sometimes as a preacher, you feel like there's really no need to even deliver the sermon. Wow. Thank you so much for that. And that's a vivid reminder to us all that this coming Tuesday, September the 21st, is International Peace Day. I encourage each and every one of you to take a moment sometime on Tuesday, and hopefully every day, to not only pray for peace, but to be peace in the world. Our next scripture reading comes from the Gospel of Mark. It's a story that Jeff has already referred to in his time with the children. It comes from the 9th chapter of Mark, verses 30 through 37. Let us listen to these words from the Gospel of Mark. They went on from there and passed through Galilee. Jesus did not want anyone to know it, for he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, "The Son of Man is to be betrayed into human hands, and they will kill him. And 3 days after being killed, he will rise again." But they, the disciples, did not understand what he was saying and were afraid to ask him. And then they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they were silent, for on the way they had argued with one another about who was the greatest. And he sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all." Then he took a little child and he put it among them, and taking it in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me. For the word in creation, for the word in Scripture, and for the word within us, thanks be to God." How much of who we are is the result of learned behavior, and how much is imprinted on our genome? This question gets to the core of the classic dialectic of social sciences, nurture versus nature. Now, every mother will tell you that babies come pre-programmed with their own personalities, especially a mother of more than one child. However, there are many things we learn cognitively, but probably we learn more of them through experience. And one such learned behavior is something that the social scientists, the psychologists, call objective constancy. Now, objective constancy is the ability to know something or someone exists beyond our immediate experience. This is something we must learn. For instance, if there is no objective constancy, when the baby's mother leaves the room, to the baby, she no longer exists. Out of sight, out of mind. There's no concept of anything beyond what is present. If I can't see you and feel you, you do not exist. And it's not until a child is about 2 years old that we begin to develop the ability to know something or someone exists outside of our presence. A game of peekaboo with a small child is an exercise in objective constancy. Well, for our purposes now, I ask that you allow objective constancy to leave the room for a few minutes and pretend it's not there. I want to be in the room where it happens. The room where it happens. I want to be in the room where it happens. The room where it happens. The room where it happens. Many of us will recognize those words from the popular musical Hamilton. In an exchange between Alexander Hamilton and Aaron Burr. Aaron Burr wants to be in the room where decisions are being made. Aaron Burr wants to be where it happens. Jesus and his disciples have been arguing. Jesus' disciples have been arguing about who among them is the greatest. As Jeff reminded, who among them is the goat? They want to be in the room where it happens. His disciples seem to be driven by the envy and self-ambition that was mentioned in our reading from James just a few minutes ago. But Jesus reminds them that the first will be last and the last will be first by lifting up a child as an example. But I would like to look for just a moment this morning at perhaps how James offers us broader insight into this Mark story. James offers us two kinds of wisdom. One, earthly wisdom, is based on bitter envy, selfish ambition, boastfulness, and falsehood, which result in That scripture tells us disorder and wickedness of every kind. Now, the other wisdom is wisdom from above. And it is based in purity, peace, gentleness, deference, mercy, and impartiality. And this kind of wisdom results in a harvest of righteousness sown in peace for those who make peace. Now, using just a little imagination, what if we were to see those things from above as God-given innate tendencies, and those things earthly as our learned tendencies? Now, of course, we really can't draw a hard line between these two because there is truth in both. But what if we look at this list of wisdom from above and earthly wisdom and imagine which of these is at the core of our created selves? James goes on to say, "Where do conflicts and disputes among you come from? They do not come from your, do they not come from your cravings that are at war within you?" We are born with cravings. Cravings that are perhaps even deeper than ones we can imagine. Cravings, the need for food, the need for touch, the need for visual and auditory stimulus, the need for presence of another, the need for love. All humans need love. We all need security. All of us need peace. Could Jesus be showing the disciples and also showing us that in order to truly follow Him, we must welcome and embrace the innate, childlike wisdom from above of purity, peace, gentleness, deference, mercy, impartiality, love? And this is where objective constancy comes back into the room. Because perhaps our problem, or one of our problems in modern religion, and in particular Christianity, is that we have learned this objective constancy with God all too well. We have become satisfied to know that God exists, even when we don't feel God's presence. As a matter of fact, we have taken our objective constancy with God so far that God has become completely other. We have God in the other room completely. And you know what? Most of the time, we like it that way. We like it that way because when God comes in the room, or when we go into the room where it happens, we discover a God who calls us to live in ways that we would rather not live. We could go a little bit farther with this imagining as far as the development of children and humans in general. We could go just a little bit farther with that and imagine ourselves as spiritual teenagers who are totally dependent on God, yet embarrassed by God's presence. Now, every parent of a teenager will have experienced this, and every teenager will remember. And in so many ways, this may be where we are in our faith. And so, in this story about selfish disciples needing to welcome children, maybe Jesus is simply inviting us to remember who we are, to remember we are created in God's image of love, to remember God is not only in the room with us, but is literally in us and always will be, to remember that we are in the room where it happens. If we are willing to let go of this notion of being the greatest and becoming servants of peace in the world. Amen. In that song from Hamilton, Hamilton eventually ends up asking Burr, "What do you want, Burr?" And Burr says, "God help and forgive me, I want to build something that's gonna outlive me." "But what do you want, Burr? If you stand for nothing, then what'll you fall for? But what do you want, Burr?" And he finally says, "I want to be in the room where it happens." Of course, this is about political struggle, but it's so much about the human struggle. We all want to feel like our lives matter and we're going to do something that outlives us. But the great irony is our striving is always in the wrong direction. Our striving is always toward being the greatest. We want to be the goat. And Jesus tells us, if you want to be a goat, you actually have to be a sop, a servant of peace. So, there's our charge. Go out and be a sop instead of a goat. Amen.